Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta. Sam Phillips has been pretty busy these days. She's been making music for television. You may know her work from the Gilmore Girls. Sam is the woman behind those distinctive musical cues, the La La songs. But she hasn't forgotten about making albums. Sam has just released her 10th studio album. It's called World on Sticks.
It was a concept that slowly gathered itself over the last few years. And I think the song or that title in and of itself is the beginning of a feeling that something needs to change, you know, kind of that uneasiness. And I think that as time went on, yes, all those thoughts came into my mind about the earth, about life as we know it.
Yeah, and you have this great quote that I read about troubles on the outside can be reflections of troubles on the inside. Can you talk a bit about that?
You know, it's funny because as a songwriter, there's an intuitive part to it that I know sounds a little bit like mumbo jumbo, but it's we have earthquakes out here in Los Angeles, and they always say that the cats can feel the vibrations of the earth. I think that dogs can too, and they start reacting before we can feel the earthquake. And I feel like as songwriters, we're funny creatures. If we're paying attention, we can feel the rumblings of things before they hit us. And it seems that we're in a really interesting time in humanity, in this country, a very difficult time, you know, and a time of decisions, of deciding, you know, like the last song that I wrote for the record is called How Much Is Enough? And I thought that this was a good question. It deserved a song. And how much is enough? We all have to figure that out for ourselves. We have to ask that question, I think, to a lot of areas of our life or our lives, not just our political scenario here, but also how much is enough for me personally of material things, of how much can I take? How much information can I have coming at me at any given time?
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that song is that, of course, is the single, and there's a music video. And it seems to me a lot of the songs deal with the damage we've done and that we continue to do to our natural landscape. But How Much Is Enough seems to be an attack on our media landscape. I'm thinking especially of the lyrics.
Someone keeps giving out the wrong numbers. We're not supposed to know what's true. Champagne promises, only red, only blue. When they break down the doors to Easy Street, will they leave anything for you? How much is enough? How much is enough? How much is enough?
And in the video for the song, we see headlines like, is civilized man losing his sense, and happiness is our business. Do you see How Much Is Enough as an attack on contemporary media?
Not an attack on contemporary media. I think it really is a question that I think everybody has to answer for themselves. I think you have to, how much can you take? How many lies can you take?
Yeah.
How are you going to find the truth? Do you have to find the truth for yourself in your life first before you can, you know, find the truth for larger situations? For instance, you know, when I was a kid growing up in Los Angeles, the air was really bad because we didn't have unleaded fuel at that time.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of smog, a lot of pollution, and thank goodness that there were people in the state that lobbied for cleaner air and regulations that had helped the cars, the fuel, everything become cleaner. Because when I was a little kid, I would have to lie down because my chest would hurt. You'd just be out playing as a kid, and it was so smoggy and so bad. You'd have to lie down. And, you know, I realized maybe in other areas of the country, the air never got that bad because people weren't growing up in cities. And maybe when their emphasis is on, you know, jobs and money, maybe they don't understand. They've never lived through the air quality being so bad that you have to lie down because your chest hurts. And I think we have to be gentle with each other because I don't know at any point, especially on social media, I don't know what someone doesn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we have to gently bring each other along because people are fighting for what they know is right and what they think is true. But maybe we have to give this time and find out a little more about the situation before we yell at each other in cowardice on the internet.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. One of my favorite songs on the album is the opening track, Walking Trees.
Shaking from your cold lips, talking in blue. You'll keep on lying till you think it's true.
listening to your secrets, crowded by the cloud. What you're beginning to believe, you can't say out loud.
What inspired you to write this song?
Well, I'm going to live up or live down to my California upbringing, but as I was making this record, this is one of the last songs that I wrote as well, and I was passing this tree every day going to the studio, and we were going through a really bad drought in California, and it just seemed that this tree was drooping, and I started reading about trees and how they help each other with their roots underneath the ground. They can reach out to a dying tree and help that other tree, and it was funny because as soon as it started raining and he seemed happier. And I think I was imagining him also looking at me, or I imagine this situation kind of taking a little pity on the human person, you know, oh, that poor little person, like they're only around for, you know, maybe a third of my lifetime, and they're all worried and they're going through what they're going through down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And wouldn't it be nicer if they could be a little more calm, if they had more perspective, if they could be, you know, up at this height, or if they could live 200 years or 150 years and have that perspective. And so I'm kind of trading places with the tree, thinking, you know, we are in a funny predicament as humans, and we are kind of like walking trees. That's what he would call me, you know. Oh, there's that walking tree again.
If we could find one place and grow the roots down, but we're like walking trees, we can't stay in the ground. If we could always keep moving and never stay where we are, then we have to hold to the underground to reach up to the stars. We may not have much, but we have what we need to keep walking this world until our lives are free.
A lot of the songs on the new album have this very big, very industrial drum sound. For example, the title track, World on Sticks, the drum intro has this dystopian feel to it, and yet there are also these very beautiful, very lush string arrangements on many of the songs. To me, it kind of feels like you've created this running thread of sonic cognitive dissonance over the course of the album. On the one hand, the booming drums convey this fear and this horror, yet the lush strings give us hope and optimism. Is that fair to say, or am I reading too much into this?
No, I think that's absolutely right.
Bottom of a midnight shell, underneath, it's hard to tell. Tears from water, black from blind. I'm here now, baby, but I'm gone inside.
And I think that's the teetering of the world on sticks.
Yeah.
The drums pulling it. And when I first started this record, I asked Jay Bellerose, the drummer that I've been privileged to work with for the last, you know, decade. I had him play drum performances, and then I wrote and edited to those performances. And one of the songs called I Want to Be You, I actually heard that phrase came out of his drum playing. And that's, you know, kind of how we collaborated together. And World on Sticks was the same thing. I didn't pick up a guitar. I didn't go to the piano. I wrote to his drum track. Hmm. So it was an interesting, unusual way for me to work. I'd never worked that way before.
Yeah, and it works really well. It gives it this kind of this sense of unity that throughout the album, that it gives it a real cinematic kind of quality, I think.
I'm happy about that too, because I think that, you know, it's interesting. Jack Kerouac talked about writing, and he said, you know, when you get stuck, get the picture in your mind. Start, you know, don't try to think of the words and what to say, but pick it up in your mind's eye. And I feel that that's kind of what we were trying to do, like the strings especially. You know, Eric Gorfain, who's a beautiful violinist and arranger. The great thing about being married to the string arranger is that I had the opportunity to really work with him, because, you know, usually, you know, string arrangers, it's not cheap, and they're they're working on the clock like anyone else. And I got to really take time with Eric and sing him some melodies and work with him on some of these string arrangements so that they could be evocative of what, you know, the mood or the world I was, you know, hearing in my head. So I was very fortunate. It was especially fun, this record.
Yeah, so getting back to this Kerouac idea of pictures in your mind, what kind of pictures were running in your mind when you were writing the songs for World on Sticks?
There's a song called Roll'em on the record, and that was a really interesting, like a bad dream in Las Vegas.
I look down at your funeral shoes in the white sand pocket of the neon night. Our ash-marked future knocked us blind, came up from behind. And you're looking for someone, looking for you.
This kind of sinister sense of things. And it's funny because I took that song to T-Bone Burnett when he was working on the second True Detective season. Mm-hmm. And I think he kind of just said to me, that's a good song. I don't know if you want it. Because to have the show or have the song on the show, you'd have to give up the publishing to it. And he was saying, maybe you want to keep that guy. Maybe you want to do something with that. And I did and finished it and did this very Mancini-like, you know, or Eric helped me do the Mancini-like arrangement on it. And it's just, I had a lot of pictures, just flashes of this person who was trying to be charming, who was a liar and maybe a criminal and had this kind of charisma but was not a good person. And, you know, after 2016, if the shoe fits.
yeah. Another standout track on the album is a song called American Landfill Kings. This one has kind of a cabaret music hall feel to it with the jaunty piano and the horns.
How did we find ourselves living on top of the things that we don't want anymore? Screaming while we cover our ears, we can't see ahead and we won't see behind us. Praying that the true false truth won't find us. They're building their dreams, the American Landfill Kings.
What inspired you to write this song?
A couple of years ago, my dad passed away, and I was going through cleaning out his place. After I'd given things away and, you know, found homes for as many things as I could, there were still trucks, like three truckloads that went away to landfill. And I thought, this is incredible. This person in this small place has this much stuff that he's leaving behind that is not useful. And I started thinking about everybody in the world leaving behind, you know, all this stuff. It made me look at my possessions differently. We are such a heavy consumer society, and it was an interesting eye-opener for me. Plus, we are having a building boom, and things are going up instead of just out, which has never really been the case with Los Angeles. It's not, you know, like Manhattan in that way. Sometimes with not very much regard to what people actually need, you know, in their lives, or what cities need. A lot of times it's more about the profit. And so, yes, this is my song, I guess, in sort of protest. I don't know if any of this is protesting as much as just taking these subjects and, you know, holding them in my hand and kind of turning them around and looking at them. Like another song on the record is called Continuous Limit.
Uh-huh.
And the lyric is,
you don't have to make a living if you're alive. You don't have to make a killing before you die. Who's dreaming for me, this continuous limit?
And I think that these are good questions to ask. I think I see my the next generation. I see my daughter, who's in her 20s, talking about these things, you know, because in many ways the world has changed so much that there isn't a lot of the effluence that maybe, you know, or the simplicity that came before her generation. And so a lot of a lot of people are having to look at this, whether they like it or not, trying to figure out what's going to be the center of my life, what matters, you know, how much do things matter, should I have fewer things, should I have, you know,
Yeah.
How should I, what should I do for my work? Just all these questions. I think it's always good to keep the questions close to you, to keep asking the questions.
You said that one thing you shared with T-Bone Burnett is this sense of always moving forward, that just because they threw you a peanut when you did a trick, you don't have to keep doing that same trick over and over again. So I'm curious,
right.
Yeah, how do you think you've moved forward with the World on Sticks album?
Oh, it's hard to put into words for me, because I think getting more complicated and yet getting simpler at the same time. I know that sounds crazy, but I think that I've always felt that streamlining the song is a good idea, mm-hmm. to try to pack it as tightly as possible. And the old show business adage, leave them wanting more,
yeah.
comes to mind, that don't wear people out. I've always felt that I should make them more succinct and more potent.
I want to be you on the screen, on the street, on the stage. I want to be you in your clothes with your friends in a camera cage. I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of myself. I want to be you. I'm tired of myself. I'm tired of myself. I want to be you.
Sam Phillips is a singer, songwriter, and musician. She's just released her album, World on Sticks.